Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Craig and Greg Show. It's the same team that's here, but as you can tell, brand new surroundings. We have moved into the brand new Maximize Studio, brand new office for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the spot, well, not right here in the studio, but we're in close proximity where folks meet with you at your new dig. So thanks for inviting us in.
And, nice to be home.
Yeah. Well, does it feel like home? You haven't been in here that long yet.
Not yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't spilled Coca-Cola yet.
Yeah, we're still getting all of the stuff rearranged and that sort of thing. But here we are in the new studio, but we got some great content for you. But speaking of new, we got something else really new and exciting. We had mentioned to you before that Greg and I, for the first time ever, have collaborated on a book, Business by the Book. And
great
the
title.
Book is?
The Bible.
The Bible.
The Holy Bible.
So what we've done is we've taken a corporate flowchart. So if you just think of any kind of corporate flowchart, you got your board, you got your CEO, you got your vice presidents, you got your C-level, you go all the way down, customer service people, you could even put on there your custodial staff.
Facility,
and,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so everything in there. And we have challenged ourselves. We are writing through the flowchart. We're writing a book for every box on the flowchart. So here's where you guys can help us too. If you think that there's a box that we've missed, or maybe test us, like, hey, have you thought about this box on the flowchart? But we started off at one of the boxes that would traditionally be at the top of the flowchart, but you and I would say that that's really the servant in chief, not necessarily the chief executive officer, but the one that is really setting the pace for leading.
Yeah.
And what we decided to do with the CEO is talk about vision. The importance for a CEO to vision cast, not only for him or herself personally, but then for the whole organization. So let's talk about vision, first of all. Can't be delegated to a committee, can it?
No, my grandpa said that if you start with a committee, your goal was a horse and you end up with a chicken.
Yeah.
So let's stay away from committees.
Yeah. Because usually there's one person that's going to chart the course, and then but you need a whole lot of hands
on
deck to get there. So we talked about in the first chapter of Business by the Book, for the importance of a CEO's vision is keep your eye on the ball.
Yep.
Keep your eye on the ball. So let me tell, there's a story I share in the book I want to tell for our audience about when you and I first met. We met on a basketball court, and one of the very first things that at the very beginning when we started and they'd pick up teams, I think it was always every day when we came out on the court, the first thing that they did was like, Greg, you're on this team. Craig, you're on this team.
Separated us.
I know. So, and we would be strategizing like, all right, how could we play together today?
If I'll come in a little later.
Put all those guys over there or something. But so one of the things, and it was a great learning experience for me because you kicked my butt up and down the court, but one of the things that I learned about Greg really quickly that I caught on about your game is navigating through the traffic of people. I noticed one of the differences between us was that I tended to put my eyes down on the ball to make sure that I wasn't losing a handle on the ball.
Sure.
You drove through traffic with your eyes still up on the rim. And so as soon as you got a clearance, your eyes were already there, whereas I was having to take that extra step to look up to the rim, and that made the difference between, because I have to look up and sort of adjust, you were already looking at it. And so that's one of the things that we start off with in this book is eyes on the prize, because wherever your eyes are, that's where you're going to go, and that's where you're going to take your organization.
Yep. I think head down is another message that we didn't really expand much in our book, but it's been a great project. I mean, you lead with the first, I come with the second, you lead with the third, I come with the fourth. It's been a gas, brother.
Yeah.
I can't wait for people to be blessed. When you merge biblical ideas and truths with business experience and practices, it's perfect.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about vision. Let's start on the personal side. Why would a CEO need to have a personal vision statement for themselves first? Not for the organization, but just for their own personal life. Why do they need to have a vision of where they're going?
It's like a map. I think if we said, let's go outside and take a walk. Well, where are we going? And you're like, well, let's try this. And it doesn't have a lot of purpose to it, but I think it's a map for us as leaders. Like, what is my ethos? What is my character? What are my integrity pillars that I'm not going to justify or ruin or put in jeopardy? I think map is probably my best word, because then people know where they're going.
Sure.
Right. And they rely on us. Like, where are we going, guys?
Yeah.
Hey boss, you know, where are we going today? But I think that's part of it, the map, and you study it and you find out, oh, there's a shortcut. Oh, that shortcut was costly.
Yes.
I think the map is a big one.
Yeah. And for me, I think it's really kind of like, if reaching your goals, shooting towards your vision, requires sacrifice. And before I ask other people on my team to make sacrifices, I want to demonstrate that I've made a sacrifice. And so one of the things that for me that helps with vision is not so much saying, oh, well, I can't do this, I can't do this, but saying, I'm going to give up some things so that I can do, I can reach, I can get to. And so I want to frame it very in a very positive way. And if I'm doing that for myself and people say, all right, we see him like not settling for something short term because he's got something bigger long term that he's going for, then I can expect the same thing and inspire the same thing in the other people on my team.
I think you asked a question, what does the leader need to start with on his own? If you know who you are, it's much easier to lead. Also, it's much easier to develop others because they know who you are.
Yep.
Not necessarily how many gadgets do we make or what are we selling today, but I really do think they know, you know where you're going, who you are, what you're aware of. You brought your gear, your boots, your knapsack, your water, whatever. You're prepared for the journey. And I think it builds confidence if they know you know where you're going and who you are.
Sure. Yeah. And I think there's an integrity issue in there because you're walking the talk. You're not just saying, hey guys, let's do this. And then they look at you and you're over just, you know, picking dandelions and you're not doing what you told everybody else. And so the biblical example, so as Greg mentioned, what we're doing in alternating these chapters is the first, third, fifth chapters, I'm writing mainly a biblical story. Mm-hmm. And then in chapters 2, 4, 6, right following each one, then you're writing a business application.
I like your chapters better than mine.
Well, really, I was kind of partial to yours. So, but in
let's switch it up. We take credit.
All right. In the first chapter, I talk about Nehemiah. And one of the things that you'll notice about Nehemiah, he has kind of in the Bible, he's got a book named after him that really is his personal journal. He's just writing down, this is what I was doing. And one of the things that I appreciate about him is his level of integrity, where he says, when I was given a position of authority, I didn't like lord it over people. I stewarded that well. Even dealing with what we would call competitors in the business world, the people that were trying to pull them down, he still had wisdom, toughness, but also a grace in dealing with them. And so all along the way, in fact, at one point he could even say to all of the people, hey, anybody want to share where I've maybe cheated you? I've cut corners. And nobody could say anything. It started with that first,
yes,
before he even started saying, here's the vision of where we're going
to
go.
And if you're up to it, follow me.
Yes.
His had to be a solid walk first.
Yep.
I don't know if I've said this in a prior episode, but as a kid, I didn't grow up Roman Catholic, so I didn't know who the saints were. And Saint Francis Assisi, I thought, they can't call him that. But one of my favorite quotes from him was, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And I think that's where Nehemiah really excelled. He showed them the way.
Yep.
He just didn't tell them the way.
Right. In fact, he even tells in his journal, he even says at the beginning, when he first got to Jerusalem, that's his vision is to see a rebuilt center of worship for the Israelites after 70 years of exile. But he says when he got back to Jerusalem, he went out at night without anybody else with him. He didn't share the vision right away. And I think that that's very important, but especially a CEO coming into a new organization.
Which true.
You know, oh, everybody gather around.
This is what I think we're going to do.
Here's the grand vision. And people are like, we don't even know you yet. You know, like we had a previous episode, just a couple episodes ago, where we talked about trustworthiness.
Yeah.
and how trust has to be earned. And I think that that's, Nehemiah did that first. He says, let me earn the trust. Mm-hmm. And then he says, after he examined everything, then he came back to the people and said, okay, here's my vision. Here's what I think that we can do.
Yeah. There is a trigger or a switch for those that we're developing and are following or a part of our team. At some point, they have to decide, I'm not going to question her or him anymore.
Sure.
And I think that's where Nehemiah won, mm-hmm. is they knew he vetted it. He challenged himself. He tested his flaws, his biases, and he was much easier to follow and join
yep.
because of that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And then he stuck with it despite sure. all the opposition. And then the people watching him could say, well, if he can stick with it, especially because in his case, there was even death threats against him.
True.
You know, but he still said, I'm not giving in to this. I'm gonna press on. So that leads us into the second chapter of the book, which you wrote, which you addressed.
What did I write again?
I got notes here if you.
Oh, good. Good,
I know.
Good.
I know it's funny. For those of you, if you've never written a book, it's such a long process. You know, you write it and people comment on it and you have editors working on it. And then by the time you finally get done and somebody goes, yeah, back in chapter one, and you're like, especially for me.
My memory.
Yeah, I've got a book right now that's being typeset. I'm already on to my next book. So like when somebody talks about, you know, the book that's getting ready to come out, wait, which one is that? So anyhow, nobody will fault you if you don't remember everything.
Oh, that's okay.
But I do remember one of the things that you quoted Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland right at the beginning, where Alice says, you know, I need to know where I'm, you know, like, can you show me the way? And the cat says, well, where are you going? Alice said, I don't really know. And then the cat said, well, then any road will get you there. And so you really took in the second chapter where I talked about the importance of keeping your eyes on the prize. You looked at the business application on the other side of what are the things that would distract us from, okay, there's the vision. I should keep my eyes there. What are the things that make us go, oh wait a minute, what was I doing? Oh, wait a minute, what was I doing again? Mm-hmm. And knowing where you were going so that you could keep your eyes on there. So what are some, we don't have to share everything because we want you to get the book for yourself, but maybe just one of those distractions that kind of stood out to you from that seemed to trip people up.
There's probably more than a couple. I think one is the easier road.
Mm. Yep.
You know, you talked about Nehemiah really having to kind of struggle and kind of place himself in a position of I'm going to be humble, I'm going to be real, honest with myself before I can actually lead anybody else.
Sure.
I think consistency, which is what Nehemiah proved, like he not only said this is what he is, but this is who he is consistently. I really cherish that today more than ever. Like, I'm not going to get too goofy on the, our book doesn't include this, but moodiness is just not very fun for me. Right. And it's difficult to follow us if we're moody.
Yeah.
So I think consistency is a big one. I'm not a big fan of Alice in Wonderland movie, but it really was an interesting quote. And I love it that the cat had to tell her.
Yes.
Hey, well, you'll get there. If you don't know where you're going, you'll probably arrive.
Sure, you'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like,
and, then, you, and then you'll be surprised when you're like,
right,
this is not what I was expecting.
Right.
I think for all of us, we want to know it's going to be okay.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's one of the things like Nehemiah had to reassure the followers, the people that he had prayed about it, that he was stalwart in his who he is and whose he is.
Yeah.
But just as leaders, it's so challenging to get distracted. Something shiny,
yeah.
You know, you know, squirrel is a funny line in a lot of movies, right. You know, squirrel. But it's very easy. And I remember being a partner in a firm, and there was one of our employees, and he would just kind of go to the easiest things.
Yeah.
Didn't require really flexing his muscles much.
Yep.
And then by the end of the week, or the end of the month, or the end of the quarter, he'd like, what do I have to show for it?
Yeah.
And I think that's really where Nehemiah set the bar really high. It's a great story.
Yep.
And he's a great model for us to try. I mean, I get it. We're not perfect at it. But
I think one of the distractions you just hit on is people, there's activity, but it's not necessarily progress towards the vision. And so because it's easy to, hey, look at my to-do list, look how many things I got checked off.
Yep.
And you're like, but none of those things are moving you towards the goal. And so one of the things that I always advocate for myself and asking other people is to ask this question, so that. So somebody says, well, I want to do this. You want to do that so that what? Well, I want to do this so that I can do this. You want to do that so that what? And I want to try to get them down to like, oh yeah, because that's going to be what helps me keep my eyes on the goal. This stuff over here is making me, you know, taking my eyes off of it. And I think that that's, you got to be very clear about your vision, you know, and not get caught up in, hey, look, it was busy. I was really, oh man, I was so tired. But at the end of the week, I did so much. Did you move yourself and your team toward that vision? Oh boy, I don't think so. But I got a lot done. Doing what?
I know I've said this to you in our friendship for years. I don't know if I did it on a podcast, but here's what it goes with. Third grade teacher asked 25 kids in a room, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? They go around the room. I remember being asked that, you know, there was astronauts and doctors and lawyers and whatever else.
Right.
No one ever answered busy.
Hmm. That's right.
And I think that's the trap. Nehemiah did not get busy.
Yep.
We can fall into getting busy, like, oh, look at all I got done. And you think, so of that, you know, Greg, 13% got you moving forward. The other 87 was just busy it felt good, or someone got you distracted, Greg, and they called you into their story. Not that you can't have empathy or be a great set of ears, but I think Nehemiah really put it well, and you wrote a great chapter on it. It's like, this is not easy. This is not easy to have vision and follow it.
Right. Right. So this is what we hope that you would take away from this book. And we talk about it later on in the book. We talk about bringing in the rest of your team and empowering them and equipping them so that you can all move together. Greg had mentioned that earlier. You know, you as the leader have to go first, and then the rest of your team can follow. But what we want to try to do, it's not... this book is not like a deep theological book.
Not my chapters.
and neither is it like a master's level business class. But to be honest with you, when you pick up a copy of Business by the Book, how long do you think it would take somebody to read it cover to cover?
An hour.
Yeah, maybe an hour at most. But what you're going to walk away with is every couplet of chapters, you're going to walk away with one solid biblical example that you could go back to, and one really solid business application that you could walk into your business the next day and say, guys, let's work on this. And that's what we want you to walk away with, is finding the wisdom that's in the scripture. Greg and I, we started off in business together.
Yep.
You kind of continue to follow business, and that's still where you go. I moved more into the ministry world, but both of us use the Bible as the foundational book that we go back to.
There's so many inspirational characters in the Bible.
Yep.
Someone asked me the other day, do you really like the Bible? And I says, I love the Bible because it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just stuff that in that Bible, you're like, oh, is that a Disney movie or is that Pixar? No, that's the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think they want to make it, you know, clean and, oh, no one got their fingers dirty and there wasn't any problems. Right. And I think that's where Nehemiah stood tall.
Yep. Yep. So that's what you're going to get. And we hope that it whets your appetite to go deeper. This isn't going to be the deep book. This is going to be the starter book for you. So please pick up a copy. And then we'd also like to make sure that you know how much we want to invest in you. So if you go to MaximizeLeadership.com, you're going to find a lot of resources there. But especially, I want to direct you to our coaching page. You can see some of our coaches that are there. There's others that we work with, but there's just some coaches on there. But especially down at the bottom of the page, there's a form that you can fill in and say, this is what I'm struggling with, or maybe this is where I've hit a plateau in my organization. I need some insight on this. The value of a business coach is to come in and offer you a new perspective. I just ran into a guy today that I've known for a while. You just recently met him, and he put it together. Like, he came into me today and he goes, hey, I just met your podcast co-host, and you're going to be doing some sales work with him and with his firm. And that's what, when we can come in from an outside perspective, that's where we're going to coach you to get better, lead your team higher and farther than you were able to do before. Not that we have all the answers, but we just have a different perspective that you might might not have because you're right there in the trenches. So MaximizeLeadership.com, check that out. And then get back in touch with us. You could comment right here on this video down below. You could reach out to us on X, on Maximize Podcast, and you could share with us maybe some thoughts on this episode, or maybe you got some suggestions of another topic that we could cover that would help you. That's what we want to be, a resource for you so that you can get better at, because when our friends get better, it makes it better for everybody, including us.
The level of water goes up.
Absolutely.
It's so much richer.
Yeah. So great. That's what we're here for, to resource you for that. So let us know how we can be in your corner cheering you on. Stay tuned, because there's lots more great content that's going to be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.